Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Is yes, you can complain that SGA was getting call after call, but guess what? He was getting call after call is because he was attacking the fucking basket. That's what you have to do. And I swear, like, this team, they get, like, frustrated that they're not getting calls, so they just don't want to attack the basket. Like, I don't know what it is.
Well, not only that, just Monk being our other ultra self-creator, we just miss his scoring and ability to get anywhere he wants and get a shot off. Davion, every now and then, can do it.
The Thunder broadcast has said that we have lost games where we've had double-digit leads. And this is now number 14. And it drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely insane that we keep doing this. It's just, it's too much. This team's gonna make me lose my hair, I swear to God.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings Cast. It's Daily, joined by my co-pilot, Liz. How are you?
What's up, y'all?
Alrighty. First quarter, Keon and the Kings offense go on a heater. Keon hits four threes. Fox hits a midi to close the quarter. Kings lead 31-28. Second quarter, Davion gets a nice drive and one. Fox punches in a jab step three. Keegan and Keon hit threes of their own. Kings lead by 19. Again, Kings lead by 19, 64-45. But again, we know in this modern day era, 19 points is nothing, as we'll find out. Liz, your thoughts on the first half?
See, this is, I hate talking about the first half, knowing how the second half obviously ends, but I mean, obviously everyone was clicking, you know, you had Fox clicking, you had Keon clicking. I felt like, you know, Keegan was trying to be aggressive. I mean, he wasn't hitting at first, but I feel like everyone was trying to be aggressive in a ways. I feel like Harrison Barnes is being a little bit aggressive, you know, obviously he wasn't hitting his shots, but, you know, Sabonis, like we kept getting second chance, you know, opportunities, which is always a good thing. I mean, the offensive boards was just insane this game. So it was disappointing. But yeah, the first half, I thought the defense played really well. Everyone is moving their feet. I thought the pace, you know, they picked up the pace. Davion coming off the bench. Trey Lyles, I thought, played well coming off the bench in the first half. And so it's like when you pick up the pace, you play great defense, and then you're hitting all your shots, you're probably going to have a nice, comfortable lead going into the half. And that's what they did. So yeah, I thought it was a great first half of ball from the team.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out to Keon Ellis for hitting six threes, and shout out to Fox for hitting five threes. But unfortunately, and I knew this, it's like they were coming all a little too early. It's like that's just how it works. Your shooting luck definitely runs out, and that's what happened. Moving on to the second half, third quarter, Kings go cold. Thunder start hitting their threes and cut the lead to two. Keegan makes a pull-up to stop the bleeding. Ellis gets another rhythm three. Fox gets another coast-to-coast layup like he always does. Kings holding on 87-84 to end the quarter. Fourth quarter, Kings miss four opportunities in one sequence. Fox hits a corner three, his sixth. Keon Ellis hits his eighth three. Kings take the lead with 2 minutes to go, 105-104. Unfortunately, Kings don't get it done. SGA, the free throw merchant, takes care of business. Thunder win 105-112. I'd say a lot of us are pissed. I'm upset. It is what it is. And Liz, what are your takeaways?
I mean, when you don't adjust to you not hitting your threes in the second half, again, this team, I mean, they had some really good looks from the three. I don't feel like a lot of the threes were forced. I mean, I feel like they were doing the spray threes and unfortunately they weren't hitting them. But it comes to a point where you have guys like Trey Lyles, you have guys like Harrison Barnes, you know, Davion Mitchell, Fox. You have those guys, even Keon Ellis can do it. When you can attack the basket, you have to take advantage of that, especially when Holmgren is not in the game. You got to take advantage of that. And when, you know, that final play where Keon turned it over to Domas, like I get the point of the play is dishing off to Domas, but you had a fucking layup right there. And people could say, yes, Holmgren was trailing. He could have blocked it. Yes, but you still have to take that shot. So it's just frustrating when this team like goes away from what's working in the first half. Like, again, I thought they slowed the pace way down, which was disappointing to see. Like, you have to continue because, to me, the first half, OKC looked tired as hell. Like, we were just running up and down. They looked pretty gassed. So it's like, keep your freaking foot on the damn pedal. Go, go, go. And we just, I feel like, went away from that. So, I mean, Sabonis, it's hard to, like, criticize him because, obviously, he's been the most consistent player this season. But he had a terrible game. I mean, he just looked hesitant from shooting anything. And then he was trying to force a little too much, I thought, towards the end there. You know, obviously Fox did his thing. But it's like when our role players don't step up outside of that, it's really hard to maintain, you know, 48 minutes of good basketball. So just a frustrating thing. I mean, you go into the penalty with 3-something left in the game and you don't attack the basket. And the difference in the game is, yes, you can complain that SGA was getting call after call, but guess what? He was getting call after call is because he was attacking the fucking basket. That's what you have to do. And I swear, like, this team, they get, like, frustrated that they're not getting calls, so they just don't want to attack the basket. Like, I don't know what it is, but they got to figure it out because, again, that's how you get into the other teams into foul trouble. You attack the fucking basket. We have guys who can do it. And I swear they just go away from it. So just a disappointing loss from this team. They should win this game.
Yeah, and I think being in rhythm so early, maybe that threw Domas off. Maybe he felt like he didn't have to do his thing so much in the game, and he got complacent. Because we've seen Domas give Chet Holmgren work before, especially when they were at home in Sacramento. So, yeah, it's really weird. I let's give credit to Chet Holmgren as well for altering shots and also just being a deterrent. I don't want to believe that he's improved so much that all of a sudden Domas is ineffective against him. I just think for whatever reason, he just didn't go for his barely in this game. So, yeah, that was a little disappointing. His double-double streak ends. His consecutive double-double streak ends. So congrats to him for doing what he's done this year. And I was saying, if it ends today, well, damn it, I will take the win. But instead, the double-double streak ends, and we take the L, and it's like double wound, I guess you could say. And I am proud of them for taking their haymaker to the mouth and then coming back, but then they couldn't get it done at the end. And I loved the ball movement for the most part. It's just, yeah, again, we die by the three, unfortunately. And that's always disappointing.
Well, I will say, this is another point, and people will be like, huh? But this is why you miss guys like Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, because those two guys, people respect from the three, and guys like Keon and Davion, they don't necessarily respect just yet because they're just starting to step into their roles and do their thing. But when you have a guy like Kevin Huerter who can go off from three, and you have a guy like Malik Monk who can go off from three, is they respect those guys, so they're required to go up and guard them. Now when Sabonis is trying to do those DHOs and those hands off, they're basically okay with kind of leaving Keon and Davion a little bit open and kind of packing the paint and not allowing Sabonis to do his thing down there. So this is why that shit hurts you. Those injuries hurt you because guys like Kevin and Malik, people in the league respect, Keon and Davion just unfortunately have not earned that respect just yet. So that's just the unfortunate part of injuries.
Well, not only that, just Monk being our other ultra self-creator, we just miss his scoring and ability to get anywhere he wants and get a shot off. Davion every now and then can do it. Keon, you know, picks his spots, but, you know, he has to be in the perfect situation for him to get his own shot and self-create. So, yeah, that's definitely missing. Everybody has to go above and beyond to make up for what we're missing with Malik Monk. So, yeah, it's really unfortunate. David, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think this sucked just because, like, you had this game very much. One thing I'll add is that what was very clear in this game, I felt like, was OKC really packs the paint well, which meant that a lot of our guys couldn't see the usual, I think, internal passes that they were getting they could do. That was why, like, there were those three-second calls that they're focusing so much on. And I think that's kind of what OKC did. They made the defensive decision saying, we'll let you get open threes because you're not going to hit them at that rate all night. And that's kind of what hurt us offensively in this game. Overall, I think, you know, the sucks is that you had it and you still should have been able to try to find a way to break the paint. And I do agree with, like, Elizabeth, this is a game where you really miss both Herter and Monk, because not only is it that outside shooting and that play creation, but it's also just that, like, I think sometimes extra or better passes or better, like, play, like, not just from Monk's play, but, like, also Herter even being, like, more familiar with, you know, Sabonis and with all the other guys, where you could kind of see that with some of Keon Ellis's passes, where he was, like, I think he made passes that weren't there as much because of, you know, again, lack of familiarity, which isn't his fault. It's just the nature of being a new starter. Yeah, sucks. You got to go home. Good news is he gets to go home and take on the Pelicans on today's on Thursday. They've been pretty good at responding after bad losses like this. So we've seen that all season where they'll lose a game and you'll be like, that's horrible. And then they'll figure out how to win the next one or whatever. So got to go do that. Got to go take care of business in those two games and hopefully win the last three and then see where you end up standings wise. You know, right now you're in the eighth, you're hoping to get the seventh. I, you know, see if you can steal the sixth somehow, but, like, generally speaking, that just comes down to the next three. So win your next three and this game will be forgotten. But yeah, sucks. You had an overall bad trip. Now I gotta go home and see if you can take care of business at home. They should have been, well, given that last call in Boston should have been made, they could have been 2-2 with that. But, you know, but again, they should have won the next game or won this one. So you could always make that argument. And I'm sure there'll be a few big missed calls in the last 2-minute report that we can be annoyed about. But which
we're used to it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just I think the league really does need to, if you're going to do a 2-minute report and you keep having not just with the Kings, but other teams this problem, you really need to have, like, some sort of, like, final review or something in really close games in the last possession. It wouldn't have affected this one, but some other games like that.
Yeah, 100%, David. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, what's new? You know what I mean? Another last 2-minute report that we could look at and be annoyed with. But then again, you know, even that doesn't really matter. There are so many things that just went wrong for this.
Yeah, I just want to say I was watching the post-game press conference with Mike Brown. We took 58 fucking three-point attempts. At no point in any motherfucking game should you take 58 three-point attempts. That is absolutely insane to me. And you just cannot, you can't do that. Like, we went 20 of 58. That is just, that's too many for one fucking game.
Was that his call or was that the players?
I didn't listen to what he was saying. Okay. They just showed the stat on the thing that we took. And I'm not saying that Mike Brown would be to blame or nothing like that. I'm just saying it doesn't matter who's to blame, you know, what the situation is. You don't take fucking 58. Like, that's literally way too many 3-point attempts. Like the fact that you can't get into the mid-range at all, you know, like even Fox, like, yes, he was hitting from three tonight to start the game, but it's like mid-range is your bread and butter. Getting to the basket is your bread and butter. It's like, you got to be more aggressive. And when you go away from that, then you start missing the threes, then the team doesn't, they don't give a shit. And that's why the Thunder packed the fucking paint, because they were like, let them try to kill us by the three all game, because I highly doubt they're going to shoot, you know, what we shot in the first half from three. It's just, it's very hard to hold that hot of shooting throughout an entire 48 minutes of the game. And if you do, then you're probably scoring 150 points and you're winning the game by, you know, 20 to 30 points. So yeah, it just, it's what kills me about this team is if they could just attack the basket, especially when they have teams in foul trouble, you can make your life a whole lot fucking easier. And it just, it frustrates the shit out of me.
Well, and we have people that can hit from the mid range and self create. And I think we should explore.
That's what I'm saying. Keegs can do it. Harrison Barnes can do it.
Keegan's pull up. It's like,
yeah. I'm like, why do we just go away from that? Like, some of these guys are scared to, you know, make those moves. And it's like, you got to be a little more aggressive. Like, this is what this team needs, because you're down guys again, like Kevin Huerter, you know. And I know Kevin has been struggling tremendously this season, but again, people still respect his game because what he's been able to do so far in his NBA career. Keon Ellis is new and upcoming, so people don't necessarily, like, I wouldn't say they don't respect him, but they're okay with kind of letting him go on a heater for a little bit. Guys like Davion Mitchell, they're okay with letting him go on a heater. But when you let Kevin Huerter go on a heater, it's a lot different than when you would let a guy like Keon or fucking Davion Mitchell. So that's why having those guys like Malik and him, because Malik can create from the three, he can create getting to the basket. There's so many different things that he can do. So losing those two guys, and I think probably since they've both gone down, honestly, I would say like Sabonis's offensive numbers have kind of taken a dip too, because that's a lot of what Sabonis feeds off of is those two guys in the DHO and things like that. So it's just frustrating to watch. And again, I wish Sabonis would be more aggressive with his mid-range shot too, because if he can hit from that, you know, the free throw line extended, like, it just would make a whole lot of difference. But he just seems so hesitant to pull it. And it's like so frustrating to me. It's like, pull that shot sometimes. I'm okay if you pull that shot and you miss it. What I'm not okay with is you dribbling, and then you get, you know, someone comes over to double and they take the ball from your freaking hands and steal it, and it's a turnover. Like, there's too much dribbling sometimes down in that paint, and you just can't do it, especially when they're packing it. So just, yeah, frustrating things with this team. They continue to do it. It's like, it's not like a one-time thing. They continue to make these little mistakes, and it's just really frustrating.
Yeah, I honestly forget. I think they honestly just forget all the tools at their disposal. That's what I think. They just forget. It's like, oh yeah, I could just go mid-range. I could shoot from the elbow. Oh yeah, I could pass the Keegan. He could just hit a pull-up. I mean, so many things, but it is what it is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Byrie Irving, what's up, man?
Speechless. That's how the Kings make me feel. When I watch them, I am lost for words. I'm far away and nothing is real. $5 to anybody who knows who sung that song. But damn, a lot of good points by y'all. I mean, y'all said it all. You feel me? You guys are basically my therapist after this game, so it was good to listen to y'all. But what's up, Kings family? I mean, you know, we started off the game, you know, how we left off in Brooklyn. Balanced. offense, defense, we straight. We did that in the first half. Second half, it just all went to shit. It all went to shit. And we clearly took too many threes. There's no excuse for that. Elizabeth just stated that so eloquently. I mean, that's just, nah, man, we can't be doing that. And I actually think that we had good looks in the inside, like in the mid-range and inside, and we passed up on them. I don't know why. Like, we would get good position deep down, and then we would just kick it out for a brick. And, like, that was frustrating to watch. But some positives, though, I guess. Keegan, I like the way he rebounded the ball tonight. I definitely think he could have used a little more shot attempts. We could have went through him a little bit more. Keon Ellis played a hell of a game. You know, there's nothing really you could really say about him. Other than, you know, it's sad we didn't win. De'Aaron Fox had a great game. I think he could have, you know, not complained to the refs as much. I think that kind of got him out of his rhythm a little bit at times. Sabonis, we needed more from Sabonis, man. Straight up. Like, he had a bad game tonight. He stunk it up. We needed more from him. He wasn't there tonight. Like, he just disappeared out there on us. And I don't, you know, he definitely should have took more shots. Like, I know what you just said, Daly, about how, you know, Chet, he's like freaking a monster out there. You know, that long, skinny dude. I mean, you know, but we have to attack him. There's been games earlier this season where Sabonis would attack on slender dudes like that, like slender built guys, because, you know, Sabonis is a bit more muscular. You know, he's been more thick. He has a little bit more volume. So he would attack people on the inside, but he just wasn't doing it tonight. I don't know what he was doing tonight, actually. Like, I don't know what Sabonis' plan of attack was in this game. He just had a bad game, straight up. And I think the double-double streak is gone. So, you know, that's just the result of that, of tonight. Coaching deserves some blame. I think the coaching kind of stuck it up for us. Mike Brown and company, they are really bad at challenges. You know, I don't know what the record is with their challenges, but they are bad, and I laugh at their challenges a lot. I'm like, why would you even attempt to do that? And let me explain how I believe the challenge killed us tonight. Because when towards the end of the game, Chet drove on Sabonis from the corner, and he drove towards the middle of the basket, and Sabonis fouled him with his body. It was a clear foul. Like, it was a lot of body contact. Mike Brown challenges that. Why? I have no idea. Then later on, when I forgot who was at the free throw line, they missed for OKC was at the free throw line. They missed. Like, three Kings were fighting for the ball, and then two OKC players were in there. An OKC player's arm kind of flung at the ball. Like, you could tell it was out on OKC because of the direction of the ball. But we didn't get a chance to look closely at that play because Mike Brown used up his challenge a little bit before on a basic-ass foul. Like, you got to save your challenges for more meticulous plays like that. Like, you know, like close plays that could, you know, that could turn around at the end. I see Steve Kerr does it a lot. He does it smartly. Boston's coach, he has like, they, when we played Boston, they showed his record for challenges, and it's crazy. He has like a freaking, he almost wins like challenges twice as much as like he loses them. So that's crazy. But so, you know, our coaching staff deserves some of the blame tonight. It's just, this is why the media glosses over us all the time. Like, games like this, this is why. Like, sometimes I catch like NBA Today or whatever, and they'll just talk about like different teams, how about who's in the play-in or whatever, and they'll completely gloss over the Kings.
completely. Colin Cowherd, he does it all the time, straight glosses over him. But he's admitted that he talks about teams for ratings, but that's neither here nor there. But Gilbert Arenas, there's like a little viral clip going around today about how he said he doesn't, nobody wants to see the Pelicans or the Kings because they have no fan base or whatever. That's not true. The Kings have a fan base. I like Gilbert Arenas' show, but they are out of touch when it comes to Sacramento for sure. But this is why he feels like he can say that, because of things like the games like tonight. Like, we, there's no reason we should have lost the way that we lost. Like, it just felt like we gave up. Like, our energy was up, and then it just slowly. OKC did what we were supposed to do. They weren't hitting at first in the first half. They weren't hitting their threes, and we just happened to be hitting ours. But then when they started hitting, they still kept it balanced. They didn't get three-point happy. They just still kept it balanced. They were poised. They hit their threes. They attacked on the inside. And they just, you know, they kept fighting. And I know they were at home. Momentum was on their side, whatever. But we were supposed to get this game. OKC, we feast on that matchup. We were supposed to prove it tonight. We're a sleeper, like, matchup for OKC. Like, we were supposed to prove that. But we didn't. And I do miss Herder, I do miss Monk. If we had them, we would have won tonight for sure. If we had them, we would have won. But we don't, and we have to find other ways to win. That's what the good teams do. And you know, we're a play-in team. I mean, that's who we've been all for most of the season, man. We're the play-in team, and you know, the play-ins are coming up, and this is just what happens to play-in teams. I mean, games like this. But it's like, when we're missing some of our pieces, we're supposed to find other ways. We have to be creative. Like, we have to show our heart. Like, we have to show, like, you know, we have to dig deep sometimes. And sometimes, instead of digging deep, we just give up. Like, oh, we're not hitting. There was a, like, possession where we had threes in a row. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, where we got like two offensive rebounds and we missed like four threes.
It was Harrison four took opportunities, one. Man.
I think Keegan took, like, I don't know. Man, like, come on, like, somebody go inside and attack. Like, oh my God.
Well, not only that, though, this team just has a bad habit of only, you know, a few people stepping up and then everybody else goes cold. So it's like, if we just had one other person, whether it was HB or even Keegan, just shoot at least 40% from the field. I'm not even talking about from three. I mean, you know, it's like HB goes 1 for 8, Trey goes 1 for 7. Davion's 3 for 10. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, man.
It's like somebody else just needs to step up. And usually when that happens, when we have at least two or three guys get into double figures and shoot at a high percentage from the field, we usually win. And granted, yeah, I know most NBA teams will, but it's like with us, it's like, it's so hard to get like more than two guys going. It's crazy, but
yeah, man, and it's not supposed to be, though, because our system gives players so much freedom that when they see a shot, they'll take a shot. You know, the system allows for that, but it's like you can't. It's like when nobody's hitting, everybody's trying to shoot their way out of a bad rhythm instead of switching it up and doing something different. Like that gets annoying. It's been annoying the whole season.
Yeah, you know what?
We'd rather take a bad shot than, you know, try to get a good shot. Like, we'll pass up a good shot or extra pass for a bad shot.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, this team sometimes leans a little too heavy on analytics and just playing sprawl ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's annoying.
Before you go, though, real quick question before we move on. I'm not crazy, right? Like, you've seen, I know you watch Kings games. You've seen Domantas have an increased bag this year, right? He has more stuff.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, he's kind of gone away from it. Am I just crazy? Because I feel like he has.
No, you're not. He just goes, he goes up and down. Like, sometimes he'll take that three. Sometimes he'll take more mid-range. Sometimes he'll attack more inside. He'll impose his will inside.
I've seen him spin and use his right hand. I swear to God, I didn't imagine that.
Like, man, and it's, yeah, that's also frustrating too. It's like, I think we're all we all know how good he is. We all appreciate him on our team, but bro, you're capable of so much more. Like, why do you? He's like, it seems like he's in his head. Like, he's talking about he deleted his social media.
Yeah, he might be.
It
gassed,
seems like, man, you're in your own head. He got like his own Twitter timeline with all the demonic tweets going. Like, bro, stop thinking so much and just three flights. Take that open mid range.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, I think he's just gassed. I would say it's just being on the road and not being able to reset and meditate and just think about your own game. You know what I mean? And approach it in a logical manner. I just think he's on the go right now and they're on the road. And, you know, I think these last three games at home are going to be good for him.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, yeah, he just had a bad game tonight. That's all. It was just a bad game for him, you know?
But you know, the people who just never seen him this year, they're going to say he's trash, which is fine. It's like, whatever. You don't watch him, but Byron,
yeah, they can't talk.
Pleasure as always, man.
Yes, sir.
You know what? And then Jordan, Sean, and Mark, I see you guys. Please be patient. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to go to Julie only because she's been trying to get back in here for like 30 minutes. So, and she was actually first. So thanks for your patience, guys. Julie, how are you?
This team makes me sick. I love them, but they make me sick. I think we've all kind of worried. When Liz told how many free throw attempts, that's just so gross. And I saw that from the first quarter. I was like, okay, they're hitting all of these. And Katie and Mark were saying, but we had gotten no points outside of threes. And I'm like, we need to adjust because everybody knows that percentage of 3-point shots landing is not going to remain. We know this. And I think I think someone else had said, the Thunder broadcast has said that we have lost games where we've had double digit leads. I think it's now number 14, and it drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely insane that we keep doing this. It's just, it's too much. This team's gonna make me lose my hair, I swear to God.
Yeah, it's almost like I would almost just take an outright ass whooping instead of fumbling the ball near the end of the game. You know what I mean? They've done it at least 6 to 10 times, right? So,
man. And also, I feel like I said this before. I feel like Fox has lost his shoe too many times this year. He did it earlier. And I feel like it's almost like at least 10 games this year, he's lost a shoe. And I don't know why. Someone tied his shoes tighter. Like, God forbid. I'm like, why are you losing your shoes, Fox?
Yeah, I think all of his strength goes into tying his ankle brace. And then when it comes to his shoes, I know players do like him loose just so they could pop him back on and all that. But yeah, no, you're not wrong.
And it's just, I don't know, these last three games, I'm hoping something. I'm looking at the scores right now for like Phoenix and the Warriors-Lakers game. Clippers are kicking Phoenix's butt right now, but where they're at the half, and then I'm just hoping these last three games tonight kind of go how we want them. But I hate that. I hate having to rely on other teams doing something to affect what we're doing.
Exactly. So what mental gymnastics are you doing for yourself so that you don't get too down on this team?
I don't know.
I'm just distancing yourself. What's going on here?
I'm trying to distance myself and just take a breath. And I just go, you know what? I think I've come to accept. Most of us have come to accept. This is a playing team. That's it. We might get lucky. We might catch six. Not gonna get my hopes up too high. We got three games left. You know, there's very little wiggle room for us to claim that for ourselves and not be relying on other teams to fumble horrendously for us to claim that as well. So I'm just coming to like just accept and be like, well, this is what it is. This was what the season was, and just hope we do something more in the off season. Hope Monty does something more for us and gets us more that we know we need. So,
no, you're not wrong. And not only that, and because I'm going to put it out here right now, they probably are not going to do it. But it's like if we're going to do this playing thing, let's try to get the 7th seed or the 9th seed so we could at least get one postseason game at home.
Yeah, I would very much prefer to have like at least one home game. And at least with the 7th and 8th seed, we have, if we lose that game, we have another chance to still make it in the playoffs.
So that second game would be at home if we lost the first one, if we were eight, right? So
I believe so. But if we get ninth, and I'm like, that's it. We're I think looking at the standings, a good chance is probably going to be against the Warriors. And I got tired of seeing them last year. I don't want to see them again. I really don't.
Yeah, and I'm just tired of the fans more so than the actual team.
Honestly. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Julie. Appreciate you coming in, as always.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, yeah, no, I don't think we're too down on this team when it comes to the big picture. I think we know that some moves need to be made. I don't think anybody in this space, anyways, thinks that there should be drastic changes. I know that's not how I roll. I know Elizabeth doesn't feel that way. I know our third co-host, Naima. Why did I say that? Naima doesn't feel that way. I think it just needs a few tweaks. Sometimes a championship team just needs one or two players to unlock everybody else. And it might be one of our favorites getting traded for somebody that's a little more stable and in more of a connector piece than what we're used to. It might be like a thing where we're trading a fan favorite in Jason Williams for a Mike Bibby who wasn't necessarily as flashy, but was exactly what we needed when it came to being a game manager and a dead-eye shooter in the clutch. So we got to be prepared for that. Some of our fan favorites may have to go this summer, and we'll take it from there. It's kind of scary in a way, but yeah, no, we're definitely high in this team when it comes to the big picture. This season, however, yeah, I think we're all feeling it. We're feeling the pressure. I think we know we have to prepare our hearts and our minds for this team to be in the play-in and that our whole season can possibly end in one game when it comes to that play-in game. So we will see. Liz, any other thoughts before we transition into other things?
No. I don't want to let this game ruin the rest of my night. Scoreboard checking. I mean, the last I checked, everything is actually quite going our way besides the Pelicans game. So that's kind of nice to see. The Suns are absolutely getting obliterated right now by the Clippers. So that's another good thing. I mean, if we could keep that 7th-8th spot, I mean, that's the best situation because if you think about it, you get two chances basically to get into the playoffs. So that's always the best case scenario. So, I mean, you got a couple of tough games, and I would say even Sunday against the Trailblazers is a tough game too, because they're going to be wanting to play spoiler. So yeah, just the next three games are going to be absolutely crucial. I mean, I'm really looking forward against that like Pelicans game because they've absolutely just had our number. It might sound like Ingram might be back that game. I'm not sure. I think he was cleared for practice and stuff like that, so we'll see if he's back then. But yeah, just everyone buckle up. That's going to be a, you know, an interesting finish to this, the end of the season. But regardless, you know, we have a chance to get into the playoffs, and you know, hopefully this team can take advantage of it.
Yeah, I've already insulated my heart and wrapped it in Kevlar or whatever I need to do just to be prepared for the worst case scenario. Yeah, that's really interesting. David, you have your hand up. What's going on?
I was just
So I was just, going to just add a little bit more, like, I guess a little bit of positivity with like the whole situation of like just a couple things where one, you know, not that long ago in season wise, being the 8th seed or 7th seed would definitely have just been playoffs instead of like, right, the play-in. But like the other thing to keep in mind is over the last, I think the last season, both teams that were in the conference finals were teams that were in the play-in, right? And like, obviously, we'll see what happens. I think this team has a very good shot if they're in that 7th, 8th spot to be like get into obviously the playoffs. I think we match up pretty well against some of those other teams in that mix. And so, assuming we're the 8th or 7th, hopefully 7th, we'll probably, I think, have a good shot at being in playoffs. And then if we can avoid meeting the Nuggets, we have at least a shot at getting to 2nd round. And we'll see what happens after that if we can get to the 2nd round, which to going into the season, that was kind of my expectation, was see if you can get to the 2nd round and then see what happens. But someone has to play the Nuggets in the conference finals, so it could be us. Has to be somebody.
If that is not Homer optimism, I don't know what is. And I appreciate that. Somebody has to be that way. That's the only thing, though, is I think John Kelly, friend of our show, mentioned a few weeks ago, and I've mentioned it before, you know, variance happens, you know, a Miami Heat run happens. Unfortunately, though, with the Miami Heat, even though their shooting was lights out last year and they got to the finals, they still have a good defense. And they're disciplined on defense. And they have a Bam Adebayo. They have so many switchable guys that help out on defense, whereas we kind of don't. I think we're getting there with Keon and Colby Jones, Kessler to a point. But still, we're not there yet. We don't have all those pieces that we need to just have this incredible defense that could carry us at times when our shooting is poor. So that's the only reason why I don't think we could count on a Miami Heat run happening. Because oftentimes, you know, we've had games where we shot over like 45% from three and we still lost because our defense is like gauze. You know what I mean? It's like a Cheeto in a freaking gate. It's ridiculous. Wait, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but we've played better defense recently. Now, like, the question is how much of that is a variation of who we're playing versus how much of that is, like, just the guys figuring it out. But, like, I guess that's not even the question. Like, to me, you know, I'm not saying, oh, the Kings are going to make it to the finals like Miami did. Like, I'm not expecting that kind of run, right? I'm just talking about we'll get in. As long as we get into the playoffs, we'll see how, you know, how things go from there. And my expectation going into the season was getting to the 2nd round. If they can get farther, that's awesome. If they can't, well, that sucks, but at least they're back in the mix. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't expect them to take a Miami kind of run and make it to the finals. If they do, that would be really awesome, but I don't necessarily expect that.
No. And yeah, like I said, man, this summer, we just need a rim protector. And I'm not talking about like Alex Len. We need a versatile, twitchy 6'9", 6'10 guy that could rim protect, hopefully shoot threes, hopefully can do a little bit of some driving to the basket and you know, mildly create his own shot. He doesn't have to be Naz Reid or anything, but I don't know who that is, you know, and I don't want it to be Jonathan Isaac as dope as he is on defense. We don't need off the court issues. Yeah, it's just weird, man. Max, what do you got?
So, you know, I think it's less offense problem. I think it's more of a one-dimensional offense problem, really. You know, even when the defense steps up, the offense, like, they can't carry each other. They can't do both at the same time. They're either elite on defense and trash on offense, or elite on offense and trash on defense. They can't keep that energy throughout the whole game. And I think that's the main problem, is they cannot keep the same energy throughout the entire game. They can't inject that energy after it's gone. And maybe that's because Malik's not there, but I think just the inconsistency on offense and the one-dimensional play on offense is what's really causing the losses.
When you say one-dimensional, do you mean them being reliant on De'Aaron Fox? When
I would say,
what do you mean?
I would say being too reliant on the three and not really having, and just, yeah, yeah. I mean, if the shots aren't going down, it feels like it just comes down to, you know, Fox or Sabonis go to the paint and then kick it out again, or see if you have an open bucket in the paint. And if that doesn't happen, I mean, what else can they fall back on?
Yeah, I think we've always mentioned that they just have a lack of self-creators outside of Fox and Monk. I think Davion can kind of get to his spots, but only in the right situations, right? If there's a tall guy in the paint, and if he's guarded by a taller person, it's not happening. Keon to a point, but again, he has to be guarded by a slower person, right? So, yeah, it's tough, man. We miss Monk for sure.
It's tough, yeah. Monk, I mean, Monk's, you know, it shows how important he is to this team when he's gone. I didn't think he would be that, you know, I thought his energy would be the main miss, but his play, I mean, has affected Sabonis, I think, so much.
Well, yeah, I know. It wasn't that like instant offense when it came to like Malik and Domas's pick and roll game. Like that was guaranteed at least an easy 6 to 8 points every game. And it was a beautiful thing to see. And right now, Domas doesn't have that. Duarte is a little too limited, even though he and Domas have a little bit of a connection. Mm-hmm. We think that Fox and Domas have this incredible two-man chemistry, but not really. Not like Monk and Domas do, or Monk and, I mean, Domas and Herder.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. We're missing those guys for sure.
No, it is. It is.
But yeah, I think that's that one of the main things they need to grow on and improve on next year is being able to give their all on defense and then also be able to give their all on offense. I think that's what Keegan's going through. He has his newfound ability on defense. And a lot of his energy is being spent there, being at the point of attack or taking on the high usage player of the other team. But then on offense, he's kind of gassed. A lot of his shots fall short. He can still shoot, but it's not like last year, right? Because I think he's learning how to pace himself on defense and offense and be effective. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll come too. I think, you know, it's the second year in really putting something together. I'm not freaking out for the future, but for the now, it's, you know, blowing the leads is still kind of annoying.
Oh, it definitely is. We've just seen it way too many times, man. It's like, what the hell?
Like, is that, what, like the sixth time they've blown a 20-point lead and lost this year?
It might be more than that, man. It sucks.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't know. But Max, thank you so much for calling in, man. We appreciate you.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You guys are the best. Thanks for coming through. We're out of here, though. Good day. Good night, and light the beam.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.